Admittedly, preaching on the Holy Spirit is not the easiest thing to do because of the three persons of the Blessed Trinity. The Holy Spirit tends to be the more and the most elusive to understand. We all have images of God the Father. Thinking of our Lord is not so difficult for us, but trying to put our finger on the Holy Spirit is not so easy. As we know in Revelation from Scripture that at times the Holy Spirit has made its appearance here on earth taking the form of a dove. And while that's helpful for us to get some sense of the Holy Spirit, it also has a downside because children at times are led to believe that in fact the Holy Spirit is a bird, which of course as we know is not true. What also is not helpful, of course, is one of the titles of the Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. And keeping with the bird theme, I've heard children in the past refer to him as the Parakeet. So it goes on and on. It's hard to get a handle on the Holy Spirit. So perhaps what's helpful for us in learning more about the Holy Spirit and his work is perhaps to look at the work of the Holy Spirit in two different categories. Extraordinary manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and then, practically speaking, in our own lives, the ordinary, if you like, manifestations of that same Spirit. So here are a few examples of extraordinary outpourings of the Holy Spirit. Think about the incarnation of our Blessed Lord in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary at the Annunciation. The angel Gabriel, right, says to the Blessed Mother that you will conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit. There are many depictions of the Blessed Mother in this moment with the dove symbolizing the Holy Spirit, and she's in a receptive posture, allowing herself, if you will, to be impregnated by God's Word. Her spouse becomes the Holy Spirit. She is, as we consider her in this month of May, the daughter of the Father, the mother of the Son, and the spouse of the Holy Spirit, a beautiful image for us to ponder. We think of other extraordinary manifestations of the Holy Spirit. For example, in the last 8 years, we have witnessed 2 papal elections. Do we not say that the deliberations and the decisions of the cardinals are guided by the Holy Spirit? We've said that throughout our history. We know about miraculous cures, supernatural phenomena occurring in people's broken bodies, and suddenly they are healed of terminal diseases, once to be thought incurable, suddenly these persons are made whole. And then, of course, there are apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary, even of our Lord throughout church history. Certainly, we can say there, it's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the church. I recall, as many of you know, with fondness, one of my lasting memories of being at St. William of York was a time when I thought I was having an apparition here in this very church. If you're not familiar with what happened, I am usually the priest who locks the church up at 9 o'clock, being the low man on the totem pole. God bless Father Belli, he replaced me. And one night I came into the church, and normally throughout the day and into the evening at 9, we have our house lights on. So we turned off these main lights here in the nave. You would still have these sconce lights around the perimeter of the interior of the church, but even those were off. Unbeknownst to me, our maintenance manager, Tom Mock, had installed super bright white lights in Our Lady of Fatima Chapel. And I came in through that door when the old doors were there. Remember the ones with the tiny slits that you could barely see through? And immediately your eye catches the bright white light across the way. So I come into the church and I see this bright white light, and Our Lady looks like she's floating. And I get on my knees looking through the window. Oh my goodness. The Blessed Mother is appearing in Stafford. Wow, what am I going to tell Father DiMartino? We'll have to build a cafeteria and a bookshop, and we'll have pilgrimage buses.
We'll eliminate the debt.
I was, of course, very disappointed because I came over to close, turn off the light, and I thought I was hearing some sort of radiant noise. It just turns out that the voltage was working itself too hard, not a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. I was kidding myself. I said, you know, the Blessed Mother usually doesn't appear to the humble and the peasant. So, or usually does appear to the humble and the peasant, and I am neither I am. So there's no way that she could have been appearing to me. So those are extraordinary, or at least so I thought for myself once, extraordinary manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But let's take some more ordinary means, some ordinary manifestations, because the point of all of this then is to become much more aware and much more sensitive to the working of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives. Let me give you a few examples to help bring this to light. The first, of course, is just in our ordinary reception of the sacraments. If you listen to the words of the formula for absolution when you go to confession, you realize from the formula that the Holy Spirit is very operative in the healing of a soul. In fact, we're entirely dependent on the healing brought by the Holy Spirit on that person. And on that point, think about just conversion itself. St. Thomas Aquinas said once that the act of conversion, repentance from sin and change, authentic change, he said once, is a greater act than the entire act of creation. He says the regeneration of a human soul in the sacrament of penance is a greater act than the entire act of creation. You might ask, why? How? Because for God, creation was effortless. It took no effort on God's part to make the universe. He said the word, and it happened to be. It came to be. But in conversion, in repentance, it requires the cooperation of a fallen man, moved by the Holy Spirit in order to change. God does not force our will. Therefore, the act of regeneration of a human soul, repentance and conversion, is therefore, in Aquinas' estimation, a greater act than the entire creation of the universe, because God, if you like, depends on us to work with the Holy Spirit's grace in order to return back to grace. That in and of itself is a grace. Imagine that. So underrated, but in fact so true. In the sacraments then too, we also are reminded of every time Mass is offered. You realize that we ring the bells here at three times. One, when the priest puts his hands over the gifts like so. It's called the epiclesis, a Greek word which means, loosely translated, invocation or calling down. In that moment, because the priest's hands are anointed for sacred ministry at God's holy altar, he has the authority to call down upon the altar the Holy Spirit. A very pious nun once reminded me, which almost brought me to tears. She said, you know, Father, I marvel at when priests say Mass, because angels cannot do what priests can do. Priests can call down the Holy Spirit and change ordinary bread and wine into the body and blood of our Savior. God obeys his priest. Angels do not have this capacity, as magnificent as they are. So right before the priest consecrates the Blessed Sacrament on the altar, there is an outward show, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon that altar, wherever that altar might be, whether here at the High Papal Altar at St. Peter's in Rome, or on the back of a Humvee with an army chaplain saying Mass for troops at this very moment in Afghanistan or Iraq. The Holy Spirit can travel to all places at all times and make Jesus really and substantially present in our midst. Two more examples then. The third example overall is the effect of the Holy Spirit through preaching. In this last week, since it's been announced that I'm leaving the parish on the 31st of the month, I've been awfully humbled at times by emails, a person saying how something that I said from the pulpit, which of course I never intended per se to mean, was interpreted by that person in their heart to bring them back to the sacrament of penance, or to bring their child who had fallen away from the faith but who had been attending Mass with that parent on that day, finally home. Or someone who was dealing with an addiction or some sort of mental or spiritual affliction felt comforted and knew that hope and healing was available for them because of the power of preaching through the Holy Spirit. This is a very underrated element and work of this great advocate, the consoler, the paraclete. And finally, we have this notion of the power of the Holy Spirit in ordinary daily living in our prayer. Last night, we had a whole different set of readings for the Vigil Mass. Yesterday was authentically a Vigil Mass for Pentecost. It's a Mass in anticipation of today's celebration. The readings are entirely different, related but different. And in one of the readings, St. Paul writes that we do not know how to pray as we ought. He says, it's interesting, we do not know how to pray as we ought. So he says, it is in fact the Holy Spirit that prays within us with inexpressible groanings. Now, think about that for a moment. This is St. Paul. He's saying, we do not know how to pray as we ought or as we should. So if you like, authentic, real prayer, in Paul's estimation, only really happens when we allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us. When we allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us, meaning that we surrender our prayer agenda and allow the Holy Spirit to take what is deep within us in inexpressible groanings up to the Father. If you like, the Holy Spirit is the agent of love between the Father and the Son and the Son and the Father. In a few moments, it will be the Holy Spirit that we call upon down upon the altar. It is the same Holy Spirit who will take the merits of the sacrifice back to the Father in heaven as Jesus is made present in our midst. This is not just highfalutin mystical theology. This is as real as it can get. It happens right here in our midst. And like I said, it can happen anywhere where Mass is said. It's why you're here now, as opposed to sitting in the comfort of your living room, reading the scriptures, listening to some Palestrina or to some Bach, and calling yourself spiritual. You're here because you're practicing religion, being in the very presence of the Holy Spirit who carries the sacrifice to the Father. Sisters and brothers in Christ Jesus, we pray today on this solemnity of Pentecost then to become ever more aware of, in fact, the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So underestimated, so underrated, so many things that we accomplish in God's holy name that we do not even realize are His work. It happens to us all. In fact, in the very ordinary ways in which we live our lives, so long as we are faithful to the Father, Son, our Lord. And it's important for us to be aware to pray precisely not just to the Father and not just to the Son, but in fact, we now live in the age of the Holy Spirit. Ever since Pentecost, the Church has not stopped proclaiming the Holy Spirit's saving work in the world that Christ merited for us on the cross, and the Holy Spirit perpetuates in our midst. We should pray then each day to become much more aware of this mysterious Spirit that works upon us and works in us and helps us to pray as we ought. For St. Paul reminds us that we do not know how to do so as we should. May each of us then, each day, turn to the Holy Spirit with confidence, trusting in his immense power to transform our lives and to make us more effective vessels of his love in this fallen world. O Mary, conceived without sin,